through the valley. Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm glad to see that it's a nice and small group out here. I'm just going to open us up in prayer first. God, we just sense that you're already here in this place and you're ready to meet with us. And God, I pray right now that as we read your word, that, Lord, I pray a prayer of protection over each and every one who hears this, that, God, the enemy would not have any room to distort or to confuse. But, God, we want to open our hearts and our ears to what, not what I, Yuli, is saying this morning, but, God, what you are saying to each and every one of us. I pray, God, that your word would have power, God, that your word would have power to change the way in which we live our lives, that, God, we would not be satisfied with merely knowing, merely hearing your word, but, God, that it would become the living word in our lives. So be with us this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're going to read a devotional by Howard Meller. He's a senior pastor at the Methodist International Church. If you guys don't mind, I'm going to read the NASB version because that's the version we use here at Solomon's Porch. So we're going to be reading Luke 16:19-31. Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that they may that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. And Howard Meller writes, The whole of chapter 16 is about the use and abuse of riches. Luke describes the scene of two people and contrasts their lives. One lives an ostentatious life, making merry, dressed in fine linen. He is oblivious to Lazarus, his beggar neighbor. Lazarus is placed each day near the entrance of the rich man's house, but his plight and his ill health are ignored. It is interesting to note that in this parable, we know the name of the poor man, Lazarus, which means God helps, has helped. It is the only parable in the gospel where Jesus names a character. I suggest it is done deliberately to emphasize that God knows everyone, sees everyone, knows their plight and needs. In sharp contrast, Lazarus, lying daily in the outer porch of the rich man's house, is ignored by someone who could have been his benefactor. Both die. Their roles are radically reversed. In death, Lazarus is retranslated to heaven in company with Abraham, and the nameless rich man is constrained and tormented. This is a dramatic parable with vivid imagery, like many stories that told at that time. It has not been taken as a description of heaven and hell. Rather, Jesus is challenging commonly held assumptions and calls people to choose now a different lifestyle. So here are a couple of thoughts. really, I just had, I was confused a bit. I was wondering, well, God, why did the rich man really go to hell? Outside of the fact that he did not help this poor man, Lazarus, why, God, would this man? It doesn't seem that big of a crime, I guess, what I was asking God. And I'm just going to kind of walk you guys through a couple of thoughts I had and then what I felt like God was saying. So what do we know about this rich man, really? Well, he was rich. It said that he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen. And by purple clothing, that was the outer garment, in which that was the most expensive, the finest of a rich man's wardrobe. So it's not just anyone's wardrobe, but it was the finest and the richest of a rich man's wardrobe. And so, and he habitually, meaning like every day, he wore his finest clothes outside. So I think, in my guess, he was very wealthy. And so I was wondering, well, God, you know, isn't he just kind of living out his socioeconomic status? You know, wearing nice things, being blessed. And in the modern day, I was thinking about, oh, well, how about our MDs, you know, the managing directors or the CEOs of companies? You know, they're wearing their nicely tailored suits and the monogram shirts with their nice cufflinks and expensive watches. They really, in part, kind of have to dress to impress. Or tie ties. You know, we have to be able to wear our high fashion clothing and our Milano Blahniks and wear, you know, carry our Birkin bags. And, you know, I was wondering, well, you know, this guy was of status and of wealth. Was this such a crime? And I felt like God was saying this was an issue of stewardship. And if you read the first half of this chapter, it talks about stewardship. Most likely, I'm guessing this rich man was a Jew, because towards, as he was in hell and speaking with Abraham, he talks about how they already had Moses and the prophets, kind of connotating that he already knew what the laws and commands of God were. He was part of this chosen and blessed nation as a Jew, and, you know, God's blessing still stands with the Jewish people. But did he use his blessings the way God commanded through Moses and prophets? Or was he more interested in appearance and how others perceived him? Or did he ever try to justify his spending and the things that he spent his money because that was God's favor, that was God's blessing? It says in the beginning of the chapter, in Luke 16, 13 to 15, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things and were scoffing at him, meaning Jesus. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God." Then I was starting to think, well, okay, God, well, how different am I from this man? How different are we from this guy? How is it that we dress ourselves and try to present ourselves to the world? Do we habitually try to dress to impress? Where are we spending our finances? You know, the blessings in which we have received from the Lord. Now, I know I may be offending people right now. I feel like, you know, none of these single things, each one in and of themselves are not bad. Definitely they are blessings from the Lord. But, one, do we recognize where the source of blessing comes from? Do we recognize that it's not by our intelligence, it's not by our hard work, it's not because we've been clever in business, But do we truly recognize where the source of our blessing comes from? Now, if we do acknowledge where it comes from, you know, are we obedient in the way God is calling us to use our finances? Do we ask God? Do we ask God, Lord, how am I supposed to use these finances to glorify you? Oftentimes I think people say, oh, well, I don't hear anything from God when I'm about to buy my Birkin bag. Birkin bags are not bad, by the way, but I don't hear anything, Lord. But my question and challenge to myself and to all of us is, do we ask? Do we ask the Lord, give him the time to say, Lord, you've blessed me with all these resources and all these finances. Really, you know, is this okay? And I would have to say for myself in my own life, oftentimes I don't. The Bible says we can enjoy all these blessings, but I think what God was speaking to me as I was reading through this was, I can enjoy, but not at the expense of God's plans and his purposes that he wants to live out through my life. So which leads me to my second random thought about this guy. What else do we know? To me, he seems like one of these really nice and happy guys. He says, he joyously was living in splendor every day. To me, if I were to imagine this guy, he would be, you know, the guy who seemed like he had it all put together. Like everything, you know, from the way he looked and the way he lived his life, he seemed so well put together, just joyous, full of joy. But as I was thinking about this, I felt like God was saying, but there was also a sense of self-centeredness and disregard for anything outside of himself. You know, why was Lazarus laid in front of his gate? It was because he had the means to help. And I think it must have been apparent to all who knew this rich man. It was apparent that he had the means to help. And my guess is Lazarus probably knew he was a Jew, so kind of knew the commands of God. Lazarus was definitely desperate. Most likely he had leprosy from the description of his having sores on his body. But although the man, this rich man, had the means to help this, you know, Lazarus, who was so desperate and in need, it says that the dogs who came to attend him and lick his sores. It's so ironic that the rich man who had the resources completely ignored to even acknowledge his presence, to acknowledge his need. But it was these dogs who, you know, non-human animals who had compassion and actually noticed Lazarus and came to comfort him by licking his wounds. He completely disregarded God's command to care for the poor, the widowed, and the orphans. In fact, even after he dies and is in hell being tormented, he still doesn't really get it. As though he and Lazarus still carry the same socioeconomic status, he sees Abraham and Lazarus from afar. He doesn't even speak to Lazarus himself. It's as though he was above that. But he speaks to Father Abraham and says, oh, you know, dispensable Lazarus, can you send him over to dip his finger in water to cool me off? Send Lazarus to the pits of hell to come and comfort me in my time of need. He also says, well, in the later passage, you know, go send Lazarus again, you know, to my family and my brothers to help warn them. It was the sense of, you know, still he had that mindset of, you know, Lazarus is dispensable. You know, go ahead, use him like a servant. Can you, you know, have him fetch this or fetch that for me? Ultimately, I felt like God was saying, you know, this was a matter of his heart, a matter of the rich man's heart. He knew what God's word was. It was the living word, spoken word through Moses, through the prophets. But he decided to ignore it while he was living, and he still didn't even get it after he was in hell being tormented. So again, I was thinking, well, how different am I from this man? You know, how different are we from this guy? Do what we say we believe, do we, you know, the things of our faith, do we live them out? How well does what we say we believe and how we live our lives match up? Do we love one another the same way that we love ourselves? It kind of, for me, it brought up images of, you know, how do we treat our staff and in our workplaces? How do we treat the tea lady who brings tea to our offices? Maybe for some, you know, how do we treat the person, the clerk at 7-Eleven? How does God command us to treat one another, and do our lives really reflect that? It's not enough to know or to believe, but in James 2:14-26, it really talks about faith and works and how that works together. And sure, we are saved by our faith. There's no question about it. If today I proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord over my life, that he died over my, you know, for my sins, and that he resurrected, bam, I die, I am going to heaven. No question about it. Your salvation comes through your faith. But I think what James 2 really challenges us is, if it is true faith, wouldn't it be lived out in our lives? Wouldn't it translate into action? And I think the last bit of what he says is, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. And I guess it's kind of a heavy topic, and I was kind of constantly, oh, it just seems really, really piercing and convicting, at least for me. But really, if anyone walks out of here feeling guilty, that was so not what I think God, what was on God's heart. But I think the things that I was challenged to ask is, you know, where am I at today? Especially here in Hong Kong, where materialism can be so normal. Or Hong Kong, where, you know, the bags and the shoes and the watches and the cars and, you know, investments and investment properties, it's such a daily and normal part of our lives that I think oftentimes we can be easily deceived, that it is normal, that that's the norm, that's the status quo. And I think I was just challenged by God. It was, you know, I don't have to dramatically change all in one day, unless that's what God wants for me. But it's in the small choices daily. Am I approaching God? Am I asking God, you know, what do you think, God? What do you think about this? When we pass by the beggars on the street, you know, Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? I think oftentimes we've become so numb, we've become jaded to think, oh, you know, they're from this gang that wants to make more money, and they're not really poor. And but let's ask God, well, okay, Lord, maybe she's not really destitute, maybe she's not really poor, but Lord, what is it that you want me to do today for her? Nothing, fine, you know. But if God is calling us to do something, are we the people who listen and act? The last thing I'll share before we move on is, just really came back to a word that my freshman year of college, it was the opening ceremonies, and they were welcoming all the freshmen to school. And the speaker said, you know, carpe diem, seize the day. That life is so short. The Bible says that life is like a mist. It comes and goes so quickly. But really what stuck to me at the very end was how we live our lives on this earth matter. That it's not temporal. Things that God wants to do today cannot wait for tomorrow, because we don't know if there is a tomorrow. And I guess that urgency of, you know, what our lives mean, not only to ourselves, our eternal perspective, but what we do here in life, what that means for others. The compassion that we would show someone in great need. How we live our lives here on earth matter. And so that was it. I hope no one feels guilty. I hope you guys are encouraged. And we'll sing a song of worship before we move into prayer. If we could take some time first to pray for Howard. I'm going to forget his name, sorry. Howard Meller and his wife, Rosie. They're the senior ministers of Methodist International Church. If we could just cover them in prayer alongside Methodist International Church. Just a prayer of blessing over their ministry, and that God would use them in great and mighty ways.
God, we just pray for Howard Miller and his wife, Rosie. God, we pray that, Lord, you would continue to bless them, continue to use them, Father, for your glory. that day would be the day in which you are able to do something great and mighty through them, Lord. I pray that in the midst of it all, Lord, that you would just continue to provide for all of their needs, that God, that Lord, they would be like the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, to know that God, you are their provider, Lord. You are the one that will take care of all of their needs, God, and that, Lord, your hand is on them and that your eye is on them, and Lord, you'll be faithful to bless them and to bless others through them, Lord. We just thank you for his word and sharing with us, God. We pray just a blessing over the Methodist International Church, Lord. We pray, God, that, Lord, they would swing wide their gates, and that, Lord, the people of Hong Kong would enter their gates, and that they would be blessed, and that they would know you, God. That, Lord, you would use this church to really live out what Christian community is supposed to be like, God. That, Lord, they would really provide for one another. They would love one another. That, God, it would be true community in which you are able to do just amazing things. Lord, we pray for folks to come that do not know you, Lord, and that, God, as they proclaim the word, that, Lord, salvation would happen in their house, and that, Lord, you would continue to add to them, Lord, not only in death, but also in number, Lord.
If we could take some time to just pray over what you feel like God is saying to you this morning. First, I just want to encourage everyone, if you feel any guilt, you know, one, that it's not from God, so go ahead and just cast that out in Jesus' name, and just begin to ask God, you know, a real reflection of where you are today, in God's eyes. So not anything more or not anything less than what God sees you and where you're at today. Anything more or anything less is not from God. Just ask the Lord for a true perspective as to where you are at today. God, I just want to pray for each and every person who is here and who has just heard this word, Lord. I pray, God, just a release, Lord, a release of the way we judge ourselves, a release from what the enemy says we are, and Lord, we just want to have your perspective today. God, we want to be a people that, Lord, one, who are blessed by you. Lord, we ask that you bless us. And Lord, you have already blessed us, and we thank you for those things. God, two, we want to enjoy the blessings of the Lord, because, Lord, that is your heart and your desire for your children, to enjoy the blessings. But three, God, we want to be a people that are used by you in all areas of our lives. Lord, we want to come today and we want to submit our finances to you, Lord. We want to submit, Father God, the way we spend our money, God. And we want to say, Lord, it is not for my will, my plans, my purposes, but God, for yours. That, Lord, you have great and mighty things that you want to do through us, God. We believe it. We claim it, God. And Lord, now we want to be a people in which our lives follow that action, Lord, follow that thought, follow our desire to be used by you, Lord. I pray, and for, Lord, that God, the what we say we believe, Lord, our faith in which we know and proclaim, God. I pray, Lord, that it would be visible through the ways in which we live our lives, Lord. That daily in the small choices that we make, Lord, not only when people are looking, but Lord, when people are not looking, God, that we would make the right choice, Lord. And the right choice is what you say is the right choice, God, not what people say, not just to be a nice person, not just to look like someone who gives a lot. But Lord, it is what you say, and that's where we want to be, God, is a people who respond to your calling and what you have planned for us, Lord. So I just want to bless everyone here, here in this room, anyone who is watching online. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, because, Lord, it is true. You prune the ones that you love. It is out of your love in which you prune us, God. And that pruning process, Lord, will allow us to be even more fruitful in our lives. So we thank you, God, because we know it is all backed and motivated by your love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If we could spend some time praying for our community. First, we have those with cancer and who are going through chemo and transplant. If I think we have the time, if you could call them out by name, if God is speaking to you about a particular person here, go ahead and pray out for that particular person. If not, call them by name. Contend for what you know God wants. God is always for life. He is always for life. And so if you could just contend on their behalf this morning.
God, we just pray for those with cancer, Lord, for Mary Westreet's father, Lord, and Pastor Keith and Eugene Noon's mom and Pastor Sam's aunt and Lizzie and Jennifer Kahn, Christina, Min's dad, Sang Kwang Suk, and Yvain's aunt, Cynthia, Lord, and Jumin's cousin, and Janella, and Jeff's uncle, Andrew, Chong's brother-in-law, Vince, God. I pray, Lord, that God, we know, Father, what is in your heart's desire for these people, Lord. Lord, you defeated death, God, on the cross, Lord, so we know the power and the victory that we have in you, Lord, and as just brothers and sisters in Christ, Father God, we say, pray that same power and victory over each and every one of these brothers and sisters, God. Lord, come and have your resurrecting power in their lives. I pray that, Lord, their bodies would be healed, God, that the cancer would be removed in Jesus' name, that, Lord, there would be no pain, no suffering, Father God. Every single cell, cancer cell, will be gone, Lord, because you encountered them, because you have touched them, Father, because you have defeated the grave, Father God. And, Lord, we know that that is your heart's desire for each and every one, Lord. So we just pray, Father, that you would come and, Lord, you are not beyond these health issues, Lord. Lord, you are concerned with their every detail, Lord. So come and touch them and move them and in a powerful way, Lord. We pray for the miracles that we see here in this Bible and your word, Lord, to be real, Father God, today in our lifetime, Lord, because we prayed, because God, we cared, Lord. So come and just be with them, Lord. Touch them, heal them, God. Restore them to full health, Lord.
If we could pray also for those who are sick and ill and are in need of salvation. God can do and use anything for his glory. And not that he has caused these brothers and sisters to be sick in order to bring them to salvation, but he can use sickness in order to reveal himself as well. But let's pray and contend for brothers and sisters' salvation, that they would know the Lord as their Savior. And let's also pray for a clean bill of health, that God would come and touch healing is not only for those who believe, but God wants to heal those who do not believe as well. So let's just contend for these brothers and sisters.
Lord, we pray for Krista Chi's aunt and Rachel Nan's uncle and Yvain's grandmother and Juhi's aunt, Chin Yang's mom and sister, and Angie Liang's father, Ken Chin's cousin, and Pastor Sophia's mom and dad, Cadence and Renee's dad, and Jin's mom, and Chelsea Ling's grandfather, Trish and Monica's grandmother, Lord. Lord, we pray, Father God, that, Lord, today would be the day of salvation, God. That, Lord, we cannot no longer postpone this day, but, Lord, we pray that, God, you would exhaust all resources, Lord, to bring salvation to our brothers and sisters, Lord. Pray, Father God, that you would use family members, non-family members, Lord, their situation, their sickness, Father God, whatever you choose, Lord, to use to speak to them and to reveal yourself to them, God. Lord, we pray that, Lord, your plans would come to fruition, Lord, and that, God, each and every one, Lord, would come to know you as their Lord and Savior, God. We pray that no one would perish, Father God, without knowing you, Lord, because, Lord, with you, we know where we're our destiny is. We know where our eternal lives will be spent together with our brothers and sisters. So we pray, Father God, not only for healing, God, we pray for healing, but we pray for salvation even more so, God, that they would know you, Lord, they would be comforted by you, that, Lord, that we would spend eternity with these people, God. So we just thank you for each one. We thank you, Father God, for what you're going to do. We pray, Father God, that our words and our prayers, Lord, would not fall to the ground. But Lord, as we pray, we know, Father God, that we are hitting the second heaven where there's battle going on for these lives and for these souls, God. So Lord, use our prayers, use our words, Father God, for your plans and your purposes, Lord.
Next, if you could pray for a community with infirmities. Again, what Christ did on the cross, he died on the cross for these things. And he overcame these things. And so let's just pray the power of the cross over every infirmity, because this is not in God's plan. It is not for his purposes.
Victor Liang, Carmen Wong, Jesse Lee, and Ayang's father, God. Lord, we just pray against every infirmity right now in Jesus' name. Be gone. The power of God, the power of Christ and what he died on the cross for, were for these things. And so, God, we proclaim your power. Lord, you say, Father God, that, Lord, we are co-heirs with Christ, and the power and the authority that you have won on the cross, Lord, you have given to us. So, Lord, in your name, the power and the authority of your name, God, we cancel all of these infirmities out right now in Jesus' name. We pray, Father God, that you would restore each one to complete health. We pray against pain. We pray against any discomfort right now in Jesus' name. We say, be gone. And that, Lord, these, each and every one belong to you. That, God, that you love them so dearly. That, Lord, you are pained to see them in pain, God. So, Lord, we just ask that, Lord, just the touch of your cloak, Father God, there is healing, God. So we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to each one right now, whether they're asleep, whether they're out and about, God, that you would come and that you would touch them, Lord. And Lord, let there be great testimonies, Father, of this time and this moment in which we prayed, Father God, that you used our prayers, Father God, to bring healing to our brothers and sisters. We thank you, Father. We thank you in advance, and we claim health, Father God, and we thank you in advance for these healings, Lord. We thank you, God.
Next, if we could pray for our community who they're looking for jobs. let's just pray that that, you know, we believe that God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one. That the next job is not just merely a job in which our brothers and sisters get, but that they're placed there by God. That it is a place in which God wants to do something, maybe through in them or maybe through them. Let's also just be bold. Let's pray for financial blessing, that all of their needs are being taken care of. Let's also pray that the stress and the weight, the anxiety would be lifted off of them, and that they would fly free, soar free in knowing that God, He is Jehovah Jireh, their provider, that He will provide for every single need that they have, that they will not know and go wanting, but that He will fill every need. Let's just really contend for our brothers and sisters. God, we just pray over each one, Hyde and Katharina and Mark and Pamela Starnes and Tracy and James and John and Samuel and Karen and Mark and Emily and Jack, God. Lord, we pray for each and every one, Lord. Lord, we pray, Father God, if there is any anxiety, if there's any anxiousness, Lord, we want to just break that right now in Jesus' name. We pray, Father God, that, Lord, they would have lightness of heart, God. That, Lord, they would know that they know that they know, Lord, that You are their provider, Lord. And Lord, I pray right now that You would even begin to start blessing them, Lord, in ways in which they had not expected, in ways in which they couldn't have even imagined, Lord. I pray, Father God, You start releasing the blessing, Lord, whether or not they have a job or a work for a company in which they get a salary. But God, You are bigger than those things, Lord. Lord, You can bless them, Lord, even without a job, even without a company to work for, a position, Lord. Lord, so I pray that You would start to release these blessings to them, that, Lord, that You would start to begin to build up their faith to know that, God, You are their provider, that You are the source, Lord, of all of our blessings, Lord, including financial blessing, God. And I pray, Father, that, Lord, jobs would open up, careers would open up, Lord, and that, God, You would speak to them so clearly and they would listen to Your voice. They would place themselves in the very place in which You want to work, where You want to do something in them, Lord. You want to transform them. You want to shape them. You want to mold them, Father God. You want to mold them like a great piece of pottery, Lord. But Lord, it's a place, Father, in which You also want to make an impact on their sphere of influence, Lord. There's a place where they would have influence on the people around them, God. And I pray that, Lord, You would bring them into a place, into a position, Lord, where both of that can happen. Let Your plans and Your purposes be lived out in their lives, Lord. I pray, Father God, just for Your blessing and Your hand of covering and protection over each and every one. Next, if we could just pray for our missions focus, the Indonesian Febe Ministry, Kupang, Singapore, a possible future church plant. And I think there's just a lot going on with missions. If you feel so led to, go ahead and pray for the missionaries that we have out on the field. Certainly, they can use our prayer and our covering. Also, with education ministries, Noah's Ark, Solomon's Porch Youth, College Group. If we could pray for SP families and marriages, for there to be love, healing, unity, restoration, and protection. Along with SP families and marriages, I'm going to ask that you add singles to this, to pray that the enemy would not have his way with them, but that they would live life to the fullest where they're at, and that there would be no anxiousness, but that they would trust in the Lord, and that God would provide their spouses. Let's just claim it. Let's pray for house churches, Bel Air, MacDaddy, Robinson Family, and then all our SP weekend activities of services, worship, hospitality, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, GIC, EG, outreaches, all meetings. Let's pray that it's more than just gathering and meeting. Let's pray that God meets us each time. Lord, we just pray for all of these things, Lord. We pray, Father God, over our missions. Lord, we pray, Father God, even just for Annie and Sam and their kids in Beijing and Chris and Amy. I pray, Father God, for Grace and Ashley, Lord. I pray, Father God, for Leanne, who is here with us right now. We just pray, Father God, for all these things, Lord, the way that in which you have called us, God, to touch this world. Lord, we're honored and we're privileged that, God, you would want to use us to do that. And we pray a prayer of protection, and we pray a prayer of power and authority wherever they are at, God. We pray that same power and authority over our Indonesian ministry, God, that, Lord, the power and authority over false gods, the things that in which they are teaching and that, Lord, it has a power to break those things and to know, Father God, that you are Lord. Lord, we pray over just our education ministries that you would bless them, you would teach them from a young age who you are, what your heart is for them, Lord, their plans and purposes you have for their lives. We pray for SP families and marriages, Lord. We just pray protection over them, God, that, Lord, families that would be so strong, Lord, that you would strengthen them in your love, and that, God, you would begin to sharpen marriages and really bring about just a unity there, God. We pray for our singles. We pray blessing over them. We pray, Father God, for them to see each other, Father God, see brothers and sisters as future spouses, Lord. We pray that you would unveil the eyes of our brothers and sisters, and that you would begin to bring their hearts together, Lord. We pray for our house churches. We pray that your presence would be there for all the weekend activities, God. That, Lord, we do not want to meet for meeting's sake, God. We don't want to have activities for activity's sake. But, God, we want all of these activities to have a purpose, Lord. And, Lord, our purpose, sole purpose in life is to meet with you, to enjoy just your presence, God, to revel in your presence, God. So we ask that, Lord, your presence would be at each and every meeting, each and every gathering, Lord. So just in closing, God, we just thank you so much for meeting us here in this place. Lord, we sense your presence. We sense your Holy Spirit. And your Spirit has been leading us and guiding us in the way that we think, the way that we feel, and the way that we've prayed today, Lord. God, we know that our prayers mean something, Lord. Lord, you choose to use us to do things here in this physical world, Lord. And we are honored and we are privileged, God. So we know, Father, that our prayers affect not only things here on earth, but Lord, as Pastor Sam has preached before, that second heaven, that there is a battle raging right now. And Lord, our prayers have an effect on that war. And so we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, that you would use us as your instrument, as your tool. Lord, I just want to pray for our brothers and sisters here this morning and who are going to continue to pray over just the things that you're placing on their heart. Lord, I just sense that you are so pleased with your children. You're so pleased with us who just want to be faithful to what you are calling us to do. So I pray just a prayer of blessing over this time as we continue to pray that, Lord, you would speak to us individually, and corporately, Lord, just what your heart is aching for, God. And I pray that, Lord, we would take steps of faith to hear from you and to just to pray it out, and to witness and watch, God, what you will do because, Lord, you are faithful to the prayers of your people, Lord. So I just bless everyone here this morning, God. In Jesus' name we pray.